Good morning. God bless you. It is such a joy to be here together with you all again. I spoke to Brother Laverne this morning and he said, "It's been a while, brother." And it has been a while. But God is good and obviously God is working. It is a joy to be here just to witness again and to sense your reverence and worship of the Lord Jesus. It comes out in your singing, it comes out in your worship, and it certainly came out in this testimony. And so I was trying to be sensitive to the Lord in how to proceed. I see the time, and many times I've seen it happen when we've been fed. God fed in His way. And to prolong that too far can take away. I am thankful when God moves in a life and brings a man to his face. And he can't get low enough on the basement floor to face a holy God. This is where we need to come. This is where we need to live. And so I'm not sure how to proceed here. I think I'm just going to close my notes. And I'm just going to try by the grace of God to share some testimony to what we've heard this morning, with a desire to bring us all to that place, with a warning. I just want to speak a little bit, if I could, as a father. I think the story of the rich man in hell is in Luke 16. Let's turn there. The thing that I would like to lift up is is it turned on? God is holy. Our brother came to tremendous conviction that he was guilty of everything. He didn't know which way to turn. He was so guilty. All the scriptures that came off of the pages into his heart condemned him. I mean, foolish talking and jesting, let it not be once named among you. And all of these sins that are so prevalent in the world around us just landed on his heart and he didn't know what to do with it. He saw God as a holy God. And I want us to know this morning that God is holy. There is no sin in His presence. And there's sin, He saw it all through His life. And I want to challenge us to see sin through this testimony as God sees sin. Sin demands repentance. I want you to think, before we read a little bit here in Luke 16, about Adam and Eve. God created a beautiful garden. God created two beautiful people. He put everything in their control. And God and Adam and Eve had tremendous sweet fellowship. They walked together in the cool of the day. There was nothing between them. It was sweet fellowship together. Until Adam and Eve sinned. And I'm going to say it this way. They sinned one sin. That's all. They had sweet fellowship with God. One sin. And And it seems to me that if God would ever overlook a sin, He would do it here. I mean, Adam had no background. He didn't know the motives of the devil. He didn't have the experience that we have. He didn't have the Word of God to study. He didn't have any of that. And he sinned one time. And I just want to impress us this morning, because of that sin, he was driven from the garden. He was banned from the tree of life. Fellowship with God was broken. Communion with God was finished. He was driven from the garden. And every single human person born on the face of this earth from that time till now, 10 or 15 billion people, every one of them is under condemnation because of Adam's one sin. Think about it. I dare you to think about it. There is no sin in the presence of God. And much of the message of Christianity that goes forth today from the pulpits to the people is that mercy rejoices against judgment. God understands. God is a merciful God. And He is. And we understand the truth behind that thing. But I tell you, we need to understand God. Nowhere in the Scriptures does God give mercy when there is no repentance. God's mercy leads men to repentance. But there is no sin that the mercy of God will just cover. The mercy of God leads us to repentance. Let's read in Luke 16. This scripture comes to my mind as our brother was speaking. Because every sin and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. And there is a man here who ends up in hell. And I believe this is a real story. This is real. Luke 16 is in action today. It says here in verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. It doesn't say, you know, the point he's making here is like. Well, the kingdom of heaven is like this. There was a certain man. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. I believe this is a true story. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedst thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us which would come from thence. But notice the cry of the rich man in hell. This is an unusual scripture. In that there is a definite conversation recorded from hell. Many times we wonder what it would be like to see heaven. We wonder what it would be like to experience hell. But here we have the cry of a man who would not repent. And his cry was, I pray thee, Father Abraham, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And I just want to tell you, the cry of the man in hell is not, he wasn't sending back a message to us, mercy rejoices against judgment. Mercy rejoices against judgment. Don't worry about it. That is not the message that comes back from hell, is it? The message that comes back is repent. Send the messenger to my brothers.
He was the heart of a missionary. He saw sin as God saw sin. He saw the judgment of sin as God saw the judgment of sin. And I tell you, when we get a vision that this man in hell got of how God deals with sin, we're going to hear more testimonies like we heard this morning. God will bring us to that low place where we don't know what to do. I'm guilty everywhere I turn. I'm guilty. God is holy. God judges sin. We don't write it off. I just wanted to bear that testimony. I feel like we've been fed this morning. I feel like God has brought this testimony to us. I'm thankful. We need to honor what God has done and then look at our own life and say, have I repented this way? This is where salvation lies. And you know, I've heard people say also, I think I'll say this, I'm going to give this as a warning. This will be somewhat of a warning to you, Brother Ed, Sister Sarah, maybe. I'm not sure who you are. I don't know you personally. But I've heard people talk about first generation Christianity and how the testimony is more real, it's more cut and dried. And third and fourth generation Christianity, you just kind of slip into the kingdom. And we know that's not right. And I've heard people ask and say, what is the greatest reality of God? First or third or fourth or fifth Christianity? First generation or down the road? And I want to tell you, the most real faith is not the biggest testimony. It is the testimony that can pass it on to your children. Think about it. Many dramatic testimonies have wayward children. My soul, beyond thy guard, 10,000 foes arise. And they're going to keep rising, Brother Ed. They come from areas you never thought of. The hosts, plural, of sin are pressing hard to draw thee from the skies. Now, I don't know why the poet chose 10,000. Rather obviously, that's a little low. Everywhere, on every hand, our children, social media, God help us, shut those things off. Wrong music, it comes from everywhere. 10 million foes arise. The hosts of sin are pressing hard to draw us from the skies. I tell you, let's band together. Let's rejoice in each other. Let's love one another. I know that's the heart of God. And I believe if we could just take this testimony, all I want to do is take what we've heard and bring it home a little closer to each one of our hearts. There is room to repent. And the goodness of God will lead us there. Amen. I believe the heart of God is open. I'm going to tell this story. It comes to my mind about a young man who would have a very similar testimony in early years that we heard today. Sought his own way against his father's will. And this boy did everything he could do to hurt his father. He hurt him. He hurt him time and time again. He hurt him emotionally. He hurt him financially. He just about destroyed his father. But his father prayed. His father prayed and prayed. And one day, God moved in this young man. And he came to the place similar to where our brother expressed, at the bottom of the basement floor. But this young man knew how bad he had hurt his father. And he just decided he was going to call him. And so he called his father and he said, "Dad, I've hurt you. I've wasted your money. I've destroyed your health. I've done everything wrong. I've rebelled in every way." And he said, "Something in me wants to come home. And I don't know if there's room in your heart for me to come." He said, "Dad, I just want you to think about it. And I'm going to come back by tonight. I'm just going to drive by." And he said, "If it's in your heart for me to come home, just have the porch light on. I'll just look at the porch light, Dad. And his father answered him on the phone. And this is what he said, "Son, the porch light has been on ever since you left." That's our God. That's our holy God. Let's come, every one of us. God bless you.